Today's the day of substitutions, I guess. Kellen's substitute for somebody, and I'm substitute for him, and I had to find a substitute for me. So it's the day of substitutions. But actually, it worked out very well, because some of the young men that I meet with, I tell them that they need to be ready every day to speak. That every single day, they need to be ready to share what God has taught them today. And so I just went up to one of them and said, "You're speaking Sunday for me over there." And gave him that opportunity. And I said, "You are ready, right?" He said, "Yes, I am." I said, "Good, because that's what we expect." And so appreciate the opportunity to be able to come and share and be able to have a little different audience to talk to for a moment. Really, the thing that I'm really concerned about as I travel and speak and do radio and all that kind of good stuff is how confused people are. We as a nation are totally confused. We're just confused. I mean, politics. Anyone not confused? I mean, anybody not confused about that? Financially right now. You know, Britain did something. I don't know. They dropped out of something that was important. Now what? Now the whole world's confused. Like, what do we do with our money? I heard a guy say, "I don't know, buy a house." Okay, maybe buy a house. We're confused. What do confused people act like? We're confused about how to help people. What if some of the basic understandings that we have in life are all wrong? I mean, I was listening to a TED Talk. I don't know how many of you listen to TED Talks, but I was listening to a TED Talk, and a guy was talking about his research on addictions. And one of the things he basically said is, what if we get addictions all wrong? What if they're all wrong? What if the way we treat them is all wrong? And he made a basic premise that said, you know, in Vietnam we had 20% of our Vietnam soldiers, that was my generation, were hooked on heroin in Vietnam. 20% of the soldiers, that was a massive amount of people. When they came back, 95% of them quit cold turkey. What's with the physical hooks that are supposed to grab them? I've been on diamorphine several times, which is really pure, great heroin. Legally, in the hospital, painkiller. I'm not a junkie. When I quit, I quit. When I was done with it, that was the end of it. What if we get everything wrong? What if we're making things too confusing? What if we're just talking about things that somehow we got to figure out how to make it complicated, because once it's complicated, nobody knows what to do anyway. I mean, think about it. How many of you have read the tax code through? It's only 17,000 pages or something like that. I forget how many exactly. I didn't read it. I didn't really even want to look at how many pages there were. And if Wikipedia is wrong, forgive me. Which it could be. Abraham Lincoln said, "Don't trust anything on the internet." Some of you will get that later. There's an old book. I don't know if you remember as a kid, you're going through and reading this book. Simple Pictures Are Best. It's one of my favorite books. Because simple pictures are best. I'll tell you the story. I'm not going to tell you the whole story. I'm not going to read the whole book to you. But it was about a shoemaker and his wife, and they wanted to take a picture on their anniversary. And they lived in a very simple place on a farm. So they decided to take a picture, but they couldn't agree on the setting. One wanted to take it in front of the garden, and the other wanted to take it in front of the house. So they decided to bring the garden in front of the house. The photographer the whole time is saying, "Simple pictures are best. Simple pictures are best." He keeps saying that through the whole book. And they keep saying, "Wait a minute, we got to add this to the picture. We got to add this to the picture." Before you know it, they had to have hats. There's the garden. Not only that, you can see the guy's wearing shoes on his ears. He was a shoemaker. And they didn't have shoes on their feet, so they had to go get shoes on their feet. But since they were a shoemaker, his wife wanted to make sure they showed that they had new shoes. So he didn't have anywhere to put them, so he put them on his ears. The whole time, the photographer's saying, "Simple pictures are best, really. Simple pictures are best." Well, then the cat got in there somehow, and it was accidentally in there. Then they had to put it in there. Then they had to add a fiddle, because he did play the fiddle. Eventually, she had to have her favorite spoons, her pie in the picture, their favorite picture, the fiddle, the cat, the shoes. And each time the photographer is ready to take the picture, they kept saying, wait a minute. What about my spoons or what about my... And the photographer would say, simple pictures are best. Well, then they couldn't smile. They had all this together and their Swedishness came out and they just couldn't smile. And so they started to have the photographer's kid that was there juggle things so they could smile, but it wasn't working. So finally the boy ran into the field to try and get apples to juggle with and broke a fence while he was in the field. He disturbed a bull. But they did smile when the bull got disturbed because it was pretty funny seeing the bull chase the kid getting the apples. However, the bull went after the photographer, who then snapped a picture and gave the picture to them, which looked like this. At the end of the book, the photographer leaves and says, the photographer sighed, simple pictures are best. And he left. I can't help but think that we have complicated so many things in our culture that we no longer know how to fix them. Things in culture, things in life that are out of whack are very fixable. But you got to know that they're out of whack and you got to know what you need to do to fix them. And it's usually very, very simple. I'll give you a simple example. When my marriage is not what it should be, it's because I'm a selfish slob. That's simple. I can fix this. I can repent. I can ask Linda, Linda for forgiveness and we can go on and things can be good starting right away. It could be that I have all these other reasons why I'm so self-centered and selfish. I could go through a litany of reasons why I'm a jerk. It could be because of politics or what happened in Britain or whatever else today. Could be that it's hot and I don't like heat in this sticky weather, so I'm going to just be grumpy. I could give you a litany of reasons why, but it comes down to the simple. And when I boil it down to the simple, I can fix it. And if I keep making it complicated, I can never fix it. We make everything so complicated. I love this cartoon. Charlie Brown says, someday, Snoopy, we will all die. Or you read it. And Snoopy said, true, but I know the other days we will not. Right. Simple comment, we just made more complex. You know, I'm going to make a few premises here. I think because we are living in confusion, there's some real dangerous things that are happening. In fact, confusion to me is the fruit of the godless. The godly people are not confused. We know the problem. The problem in the world is not communism, socialism, it's sin. See, I could leave right now. We're done. That's how simple it is. We are sinful creatures, and when we sin, there are consequences to it. No matter who you are, no matter where you're going, you sin, there's consequences. You stop sinning, there's good things that happen. It's really that simple. And because of the way we have confused things, we get it out of whack. Here's some premises. Number one, if you're angry with God today, for any reason, or you know somebody's angry with God, they don't know Him. You cannot know God and be angry with Him. I'm sorry. If you're angry with God, you made up who He is. You can be angry with Allah. He's not God. Go ahead and be angry with Him. You can be angry with a bunch of others, but you can't be angry with God if you know Him. The solution, if you're angry with God, is get to know Him. That's how simple it is. When somebody comes and says, I'm so angry with God, I say, well, you don't know Him. I know Him. You don't know Him. If you're disappointed with God, you don't know Him. How many people are going through life? I'm really disappointed in God. You don't know Him. It's not about what does God have to do so you're not disappointed in Him. Make you the center of the universe? Make sure nobody dies? Make sure nobody's sick? Make sure everybody's happy? What does He have to do? If you know God, you're not disappointed. But you got to get to know Him. See, that's the key. Most of us don't get to know Him. If you feel cheated by God, you don't know Him. Notice this is always going back to a very simple premise. See, all of these things are what our country, our people feel. They feel cheated. They feel... There's a simple answer to this. It's not a complicated answer. You know what's really complicated is when you try and make God and Allah one. They're not one. Go read the Quran and read the Bible. Put them right next to each other. And what you will realize is that the God of the Bible and Allah are different. So they both can't be God. That's a simple premise. I was talking to a guy who grew up under Saddam Hussein, and he was a Muslim, and all of his life he became a believer, and talking to him, he said, just read the Quran. People that say God and Allah are the same never read it. In fact, when he talks to his Muslim friends, he tells them that. He says, tell me about Allah, and they tell him. He goes, let me tell you about God. And his Muslim friends go, boy, they're not the same. No, they're not. The Jesus that's mentioned in the Quran, and Jesus that's in the Bible, guess what? They're not the same. Read them. You can take it to a Muslim and hand it to him. Say, you read it. Tell me about the Jesus in the Quran, and I'll tell you about the Jesus in the Bible. When you do that, they're going to be different. Therefore, they can't both be the same Jesus. That's pretty simple. This is not difficult to understand. See, but we make it complicated like, yeah, well, whatever people use, whatever language they use, whatever. No, it's not that difficult. If you willfully disobey God, you don't know him. In other words, there are people that know what God says, and they just go against it, and they say, well, here's all my litany of reasons. I have all this list of reasons. What? No, you just don't know God yet. You see, the answer to all these complicated situations is the same simple answer. Get to know God. And if you're not spending time in God's Word, you're not spending time enjoying God, you're never going to solve these problems. In fact, they're going to compound, and there's going to be more than you can imagine. I love reading psychology. I think they are very good at exposing problems, but they're really lousy at solving any of them. I think the Bible solves them, but psychology can uncover them. Psychiatrists consider formal thought disorder. I'm just going to read this to you because this just shows you how things get complicated all of a sudden. I'm going to read you what psychologists say about our brain waves. Psychiatrists consider formal thought disorder as being one of two types of disordered thinking, with the other type being delusions. The latter involves content, while the former involves form. Although the term disorder can refer to either type, in common practice it refers to the most often to disorder of thought form. So they came up with formal thought disorder. There are people that have formal thought disorder. In other words, things are out of whack. Well, why are things out of whack? Why are things not in order? Because we don't want an order. We want to be the center of the universe. There is an order. Go into Genesis and you look at it. It says, in the beginning, God. It doesn't say in the beginning, Dave. It never said that. See, there's an order here. And the order is fixed. And we can have people that have formal thought disorder. They can go through and they can formalize what they think, but they're out of whack. Not only that, I think formal thought disorder and schizophrenia are somewhat similar. I think a lot of times they're schizophrenic. Schizophrenia is a disorder characterized by psychotic symptoms, including hallucinations, delusions, or formal thought disorder, and accompanied by disorganized behaviors. Disorganized behaviors. Look at what happened after the mass murder in Orlando. Just look at how the country responded, how people were walking around. And I'm thinking, man, that's chaos. They're trying to figure this out. I'll tell you what happened. Here's something very simple that I'm going to say that's true. If that guy that had the gun loved God and was walking with him and loved people, he wouldn't have shot anybody that night. Why do we make it so complicated? I wonder what his motive was. Sin. Any questions? You know what sin does? It destroys people in Orlando. It destroys people in our homes. It destroys our friends. It destroys our marriages. It's called sin. It just demonstrates itself in all these weird ways, these ugly ways all over the place. And it's called sin. And until we can deal with it, can you imagine a president of the United States kind of going, we got a problem with sin. We got to deal with this. See, that's what we need, but we can't do that. We got to make it more complicated. This is, he probably suffered from schizophrenia, probably suffered from formal thought disorder. He probably had all these things happen to him. He probably did. And they're all stemming back to sin. We don't hate sin. We entertain ourselves with it. And as long as we're going to do that, we're going to have a hard time hating it. You see, I think what we are is a nation of schizophrenics. We're just not knowing what we're doing half the time. And one day we're like this, and we're like this, and we're like this. We made it so complicated. Here's what I think happens without absolutes. Without absolutes, you're confused, which leads to this formal thought disorder, which leads to schizophrenia. And yes, now's the time to say, oh, good grief. I don't even understand what's going on here. Well, I started out simple. I got complex. I'm going to go back simple. See, what happens is you understand that when you abuse or you ignore the simple, the whole world goes out of whack. It gets complex. You can't figure it out. Nothing makes sense. Confusion. All of you have suffered from confusion. It's not a state we like to be in. It's not a state we consider healthy. But it is the state of our nation, I believe, and very much, in many cases, the state of our church in America. Because you go into 2 Timothy 4 and you see that the Apostle Paul was telling young Timothy, reprove, rebuke, exhort. We don't do that well from the pulpit. We don't do that well. But that's what you do if you're a teacher. And then he warned Timothy. He said, but people are going to listen to you, but they're really going to go find somebody they want to hear. Because you may not give it to them the way they want it. Look, truth is really simple. Our lives are a wreck because of our sin. And if we don't want them to be a wreck, we got to quit sinning and we got to start loving God. You can boil it down to a simple statement. Enjoy God, enjoy life. Really, it's that simple. When you're in the middle of sin, you can't enjoy God, see? So you can't do that. And yeah, there's a lot of ways we can obviously sin. 1 Corinthians 14:33 says this, for God is not a God of confusion, but of peace. When you see a land of the confused, that's not a fruit of the Spirit. Confusion was never listed as a fruit of the Spirit. It isn't a fruit of the Spirit. It's a fruit of delusion. It's a fruit of deception. It's a fruit of the evil one. It's not the fruit of the Spirit. A lot of times when we look at our lives, if we see ourselves in a certain state, what we can do is realize what we're really thinking. God makes it simple. He is not a God of confusion. He's a God of peace. And we need to grab that. Jeremiah 17:9, the heart is deceitful above all things, desperately sick. Who can understand it? My heart, my reasoning factor is something that is basically deceitful. What is deceitful? Deceitfulness is when I tell myself a lie enough or in a nice enough way or surround myself with people who are lying to the point where I start believing that the lie is actually truth. And when that happens, it gets pretty complicated because you can't even remember lies half the time. And so now there's a bunch of different lies that are ruling your life and you're really confused. When Jesus was asked, what was Christianity about? He didn't sit him down for 2 hours. He said, love the Lord your God with all your heart, soul, and mind. Love your neighbor yourself. Any other questions? All right, I just gave you two things. Just do that. Spend the rest of your life doing that. You'll be okay. Just do that. Yeah, what about this program and that program? If they do that, fine. But just do that. See, you do that, everything's cool. You don't do that, nothing's cool. Why didn't Jesus give a bigger discourse there? When he was asked what Christianity was about, why didn't he give him a 14-hour sermon? Because it's not that. You could summarize Christianity. What if, and then later he describes, when you love God, what does that mean? You obey him. See, that's how simple that is. So if you don't obey God, you don't love him? Correct. So you need to know him? Right. So you can obey him? Correct. When you know him and you obey him, everything's cool? Correct. Yeah, but Stephen got stoned when he did that. Correct. Was that a bad thing? Is this life something we cling to? Is that what we do? This is the life that we're supposed to get all. Is this really our best life now? Did somebody write a book like that? This isn't our best life now. This is a war zone. Since when was a war zone our best life now? Who in the world thinks being at war is a good thing? Isn't that what we're doing? See, our heart's deceitful. There's a lot of people that think this isn't a war zone. It is. Proverbs 25:26. Like a muddied spring or a polluted fountain is a righteous man who gives way before the wicked. Sometimes I think, you know, we get in front of people and our goal is to try and make them like us or say it the way they like it or whatever. And it's like, you know, it's not that hard. Somebody comes and says the nation's falling apart. I say, yeah, it's because we're godless. Someone was talking to me once and saying, yeah, you know what, Christians ought to stand up, you know, be against abortion. I said, yeah, they should be. But even more than that, we should be for purity. You see, God's got this system. It's real simple. You stay pure before marriage, faithful in marriage. We have no need for abortion. Now we're not even talking about that issue. We just wiped that one off the political scene. Why? Because it's simpler than we make it. It's really not about making it complicated. 1 John 4:1, Beloved, do not believe every spirit, but test the spirits to see whether they are from God. For many false prophets have gone out into the world. I want to go through this kind of quick, but one of the things that we have to start doing is forget the idea of people coming and saying, oh, you're judging me. I'm judging you because you're beating your head on a rock and I told you it's going to hurt? That's not judgment. Not only that, as Christians, what we're supposed to do is test the spirits. That's what we do. We test the spirits. Because the spirit of the evil one is active in this world. Go check it out. And there are false teachers, there are deceivers among us. And what you have to understand is that Satan makes things extremely complicated. It's not like people walk in a congregation like this with a sign, I'm on Satan's team, where are Satan's seats? They don't do that. The simple exposes the complex. And what we need to do is, I'm just going to throw some false teachers up here. The social false prophet we have to watch. The social false prophet is one that basically is one who enjoys being within the crowd and in the social network that they're in, and they claim to be a Christian, but there's no effect in their life. You don't see it. It doesn't matter that they're a Christian. They don't live like one. They don't act like one. They don't talk like one. Before you know it, they're persuading whole groups of people to be a certain way. There's a social false prophet. There's a scientific false prophet. You start to look at people saying, you know, I wonder where we came from. Bible says in the beginning God, then he created. That's where we came from. Oh, no, it's a lot more complicated than that. Make it complicated. Go ahead. Let me tell you how complicated this can be. One day there was nothing and all of a sudden there was something. That's how complicated that can be. Figure that one out. I'm using a pen one day. It turns into a stylus because I got an iPad. Whoa, no it didn't. That's simple compared to what we think evolution is. It's really a simple thing. God said, I created. Okay, he created. Why do we make that more complicated than it is? You know why? Because we don't necessarily understand it, but we give in to these scientific false prophets. The secular false prophets, just those that are of this world, they're very powerful in what they say, what they do. They talk a good game. You do realize that rhetoric, speech, talk, words do not equate truth. That doesn't mean anything. I could be extremely persuasive and be extremely wrong at the same time. So you can never say that words, especially words, if you've ever talked, when I was taking my master's degree in science, and every once in a while the teachers would get on me because I believed in God and all that kind of stuff, and they would start using words that I couldn't even pronounce and concepts that I didn't even understand, and they'd look at me and go, well, what do you think of this? And they'd go on and on, and I'm looking at them like, I have no idea, but you have something in between your teeth, I think. I'm not really sure what you're talking about. In other words, you just made everything so complicated that I can't even keep up with you. See, that's what they do. Then they look and go, you don't know anything. I know God, he's my father, but I really don't know anything about the tsetse fly that you just told me about. because I never studied them and I don't know anything about them. And you could probably twist me around your little finger with all the facts that you know. But it still doesn't mean I don't know God. The secular false prophet. The literary false prophet. Oh, there's so many books out there. People writing, persuading, trying to get us to understand stuff. I mean, there are so many people whose motivation is to be really heard, famous, rich. They can write. They can get people to follow them. You got to be careful. You test the spirits. Why do people write? Why do people teach? Why are people in science? Why are they involved in social stuff? See, it's really a simple thing. God made it clear why we do things. We are created in order to show the world who He is. So if that's how it's happening, that might be a good thing. But I can take it back to a very simple thing to evaluate it. I don't have to look at all those complicated facts. Your religious false prophet. Within our own midst, there are oftentimes people who focus on the things that really we don't need to focus on. They make it much more complicated than it should be. The gospel message is very simple and clear. God loves us. Our sin separates us from Him. Without Jesus, we have no way of fixing it. Any questions? You want to make it harder than that? You want to make it according to how good you are? Some people think that they stay in God's family because they stay good enough. How good do you have to be? Where's their line that all of a sudden one day you went over it, so now you're really good enough? See, that's what makes it complicated. Then you end up like the old Jewish traditions with all these rules and regulations and lines and things, and before you know it, you got all these laws you got to memorize, and then you got to have people know the laws, and it becomes our tax code kind of thing. It's like a religious tax code eventually. It benefits a few that know the pieces, but nobody knows the whole thing anyway. Those who aren't confused, they know and listen to God. They know how to filter the clutter or chatter, and they keep things simple. In our lives, there's an awful lot of clutter and chatter that comes to us. Just the way it is, this internet age, there's a lot of information that flies, and we get it quickly. Before anybody even knows anything, I mean the Orlando shooting that took place, and that's a tragic shooting, but before it was even, you know, broadcast, there were waves of reporters flown down there. Stuff travels quickly. In fact, it goes so fast that they don't even have the story. They got to do something to keep up with it. What's interesting is in Ecclesiastes 1:15, it says, what is crooked cannot be made straight. What is lacking cannot be counted. You can't take something that's wrong and make it right. That's how simple that is. You cannot take something that's wrong and make it right. It doesn't work. You cannot do it. You want to frustrate yourself, go try. Now, that's a simple verse. It's very logical. If I had Charlie Brown up here, I'd have his shirt on so you could see the crooked line that can't be straight. But we try and do it all the time. When we test the spirits, what we're doing is we're just trying to figure out, is this about God? Is this for the good of others? If so, it passes the test. Is what this person doing, if you worked, let's say you're a plumber, Dave Grant, he's a plumber. So let's say you're a plumber, like Dave Grant. Why does he plumb, if that's the right thing he does? He plumbs to show the world who God is. He plumbs to show his love to other people. Oh, and by the way, he'll get a paycheck too. Some people make more than others. That's okay. We don't work for money. See, the Bible made it very simple. That's not why we work. We work. We're made to work. If it's about God or if it's about others, it passes the test. Let me just very quickly go through a chart of things that make sense and things that don't. Things that we've complicated. The R side is the side we complicated. You don't get it. Marriage. How did God make it? Committed. One man, one woman. Simple. Simple. I love my marriage. I love the idea. It's like, man, I married Linda. Staying together till one of us dies. That's not a day either of us looking forward to. That's just the way it is. And boom. Okay. That's know, not on a hunt for someone better. She's not on a hunt for somebody better. We're not wondering. We're not, no. See how simple that is? It's simple. I don't even have to worry about a thing. It's like Hakuna Matata. I'm fine. What is it when we complicate it? I don't know. One man and two women, or two men or two women, or a man and a dog. I don't know. What is marriage to a nation that's godless and complicates it? We don't even know. We don't know what's going on. You're talking about kids growing up today being confused? My goodness. Greed. Content with what you have. You realize the scriptures say that we need to be content with what we have. I love Ecclesiastes 5:10. It says, he who loves money will not be satisfied with money, nor he who loves wealth his income. You know, it gives us a definition. Those people who love wealth and love money are never satisfied with their income. You see, you've got to be able to be someone who God can send anywhere in the world. So if he wants to send you over there, over there, over there, here, whatever, some of you are going to be CEOs of companies. Some of you are going to be out there and be plumbers. And some of you are going to be camp directors. And some of you are going to be, see, it's going to be all over the place. But as God in his wisdom just spreads us, because really, remember, it's about him and not us. So as he puts us in places, what happens? The people getting plumbed, they hear about Jesus from day. And other, whatever it is, see, God puts them in places. Some people get paid way too much, honestly. Well, be generous. Some people get paid too little. Don't complain. Either way, you're trusting God. He'll take care of you. See how simple it is all of a sudden? It's not about me trying to figure something else out and manipulate God and make sure I get more. No, that gets really tiring. Go out there and live. I honestly think in the last 35 years I've been at camp, 36 years, whatever it's been, I don't think I've gone to work yet. I get up in the morning, and this morning I got up at 5 in the morning. I'm going, I can't wait to get over here and speak. This is fun. This is what I love doing. See, you know, whatever I get paid, I get paid. And I'm responsible then, and I need to take care of it, whatever that might be. But whatever it is, it is. See, the confused say never enough. Self-worth is tied to money, stuff, pleasure. Do it that way. It'll be complicated after a while. Try and figure that one out. Gluttony. Very simple. Do we eat to live? Or do we live to eat? It's one of those things that I bypass real quickly because nobody wants to talk about this. I don't even know what it is because I've never heard a message on it. I know we're not supposed to be it. I think it's simple. You need to eat enough to live. Someone was asking me, Jerry Rice, the guy's a beanpole. Did I say that in public? A good beanpole, mind you. But I've actually gone out to eat with him. He orders the most fattening thing on the menu while I order a piece of lettuce. You know, everybody's different, so you can't get in there and say, you eat this, eat that. You know, a college student was talking to me once about what gluttony was, and they were saying a guy like Rich Hess at our camp, who is very thin and can eat plenty, or a guy like Jerry, somebody else, you know, their metabolism is different. They can eat. So is it gluttony if they eat a lot? I don't think so. I don't think so. They're trying to keep alive. Would it be if I ate that much? I think so. My metabolism, I smell food and I gain a pound. So I can't do that. You say, well, that's not fair. Pfft, forget it. It's the way life is. You see, because we're not gluttons, we don't worship the food anyway. See, if you're worshiping food, then you're upset by that. Otherwise, you just say, okay, I can't. Gender. Really, if you're not confused, there's men and there's women. If you are confused, there's man that is woman, there's woman that is man, there's man that is some women. I got that wrong. I was so confused, I didn't know how to type it. Because you don't know what's going on. You don't know what people are saying, what they're at. You don't know. It's really simple, either man or woman. I actually checked this out with a doctor. He verified. You're either a man or a woman. There's nothing in between, no matter what you think. Purity. Abstinence and commitment. See, that's pretty simple. So he says, well, I think I'm being pure. Look, purity is a simple thing. Before you're married, you're abstinent. But while you're married, you're committed. And that's final. That's not hard to understand. Let's not complicate this. Well, you ever have a young people, where's the line? You're complicating it. You really are complicating it now. This isn't complicated. Redefine purity, sex, commitment, abortions, STDs, porn, etc. The articles, the research I'm doing on young adolescents is most disturbing in what they're thinking. What they're thinking sex is and what it isn't is amazing to me. They're complicating this whole thing. It's not complicated. They're wrong. They're going to find out they're wrong, and the complication makes it so that their life will be a wreck. Work. No work, no eat. That's what the Bible says. Pretty simple. In fact, I honestly believe that God made us to work, and he made us to work 6 days a week, and he made us to actually find pleasure in the work. And for those in our nation who keep trying to not work for some reason and do nothing, man, they're having trouble. They're having trouble dealing with it because that's not how we were made. We weren't made to just sit. Those who are confused, they seek pleasure and comfort in the most for the least effort. See, it's a confusing thing. I had whole passages in the Bible to go with each of these, and like normal, if I read them all, we'd be here till tomorrow. 1 Corinthians 2:14 says this, though. But a natural man does not accept the things of the Spirit of God, for they are foolishness to him. And he cannot understand them, because they are spiritually praised. The world in which you and I live loves their confusion, and they cannot figure out how to get simple and unconfused. It makes no sense to them. When you talk to junior high, high school, young people, and you tell them they need to stay pure, 100% pure, abstinent before marriage, it makes no sense to them. Why? The only reason it cannot make sense to them is if they don't know God and the Spirit isn't revealing it to them. So you go back to the simple. If you know God, you know that he created us with a purpose. And if you're going to live outside that purpose, how does it work? How enjoyable is life going to be if you live outside the purpose? It won't be. Because you're not meant to handle outside the purpose. You're meant to handle the purpose. Outside the purpose doesn't work. So if you're a natural man, if you're somebody who doesn't know God, you're the only other conclusion you can have is that you're God. So now it's your feelings that dictate things and your ideas. And when we start doing that over millions of people, you want to know how complicated that gets? Honestly, schools that are godless are trying to figure out what to do about bathrooms. That's how complicated it gets. They're trying to figure out how to accommodate everybody who has a feeling, an urge, or a desire. How many of us are there that have urges, feelings, and desires? And how are we going to accommodate everybody? And then if we don't accommodate them, it's like, you're hurting my feelings, or you're something. It's like, no, let's go back to the simple. There's boys, there's girls, there's a boys' bathroom and a girls' bathroom. Use one of them. Yeah, but that's discriminatory. Against who? You're making this hard again, aren't you? Because I don't know what to tell you on this. The truth of the matter is a natural man isn't going to accept that. My dad used to always have a very wise approach to life. He wouldn't argue these points with anybody that was, he was, if they weren't a believer, it always went back to the same issue. Do you know Jesus? Why? It doesn't matter arguing this other stuff with you because you're never going to get it anyway. Do you know God? Do you know who he is? Do you know Jesus? If the Spirit isn't in you, I'm wasting my breath. It's the Charlie Brown wah-wah-wah-wah-wah-wah-wah thing you're hearing. But you're not hearing the truth. My dad, when I was a young man, used to tell me that, because I'd hear him talk to people, and I'd say, Dad, you could have really argued him into a corner. It's like, why? I'll make it more complicated when I do that. The problem is he doesn't know Jesus. Once he knows God, once he puts his faith in Christ and he accepts Christ as his Savior, now we got a platform. So when you see Christians out there trying to control culture, that's fine, but they're not going to control culture. They're not going to control godless culture, not till they get Jesus. I've written the president. I've told him the problem is we need Jesus. I never got a response. But I said, you know, here's the problem. It isn't all this other junk. You know, we need to do something about guns or whatever. No, we need to do something about sin. I tell you what, people who love God, they love God, they walk with God, they love people. You can give them an arsenal. They're not hurting anybody. That's not the issue. Try and legislate right righteousness. Go ahead, try and do it. It's failed 100% of the time throughout history. Why? You can't legislate righteousness. Do you know how long the laws would be? Something like the health care plan. Something like the tax code. Get a bunch of people together that don't have a common God in place, our God, the only God, and what you end up with is thousands and thousands and thousands of words that are meaningless. And then they expect to rule with those meaningless words. And we wonder why we're confused. We're confused because we're constantly in the middle of meaninglessness land. What is meaningful? God. I can make it simple. I get to honor God today. So do you. You get to enjoy God today. And when you do, you'll enjoy life. When your marriage is not what it should be, check yourself first. If both of you are doing that, your marriage will probably be what it should be in a few hours. We don't need to make it more complicated than that. Galatians 6, 6 to 10. Let the one who is taught the word share all good things with the one who teaches. Do not be deceived. God is not mocked. God is not mocked. You will not say, I know more than God. You won't do that. You will not say, this is God's way and I got a better way. It won't. That's not going to happen, sorry. God is not mocked. And then it goes on to say, for whatever one sows, that will he also reap. You know, we want to believe that everybody can choose their own gender, they can be self-centered and be okay and that kind of thing. What's going to happen is we're going to reap from that. Just look at our nation. We're going to reap from it. We're a nation and a world right now that's just spinning in confusion. It is my hope that we, the church, can kind of put our finger in the top and stop it and say we don't have to live that confused. Now, honestly, I don't have the answer to everything, but God does. See, it's like I'm deferring. And that I know he does. I don't know the answer to every problem in the world, and I know the answer to your problem as you think about, well, what about I don't know those answers, but here's what I can guarantee you, that God knows the answer. And if you would come to him, and you would enjoy him, and you would spend time with him, and you would listen to him, his spirit would give you the answer. See, that I know. So I'm not the shell answer man when it comes to that stuff, but I am somebody who knows God. Sorry, the shell answer man was my generation on television. I don't think he's out there anymore. Do not be deceived. God is not mocked. For whatever one sows, that would also reap. For the one who sows to his own flesh, the one who, man, I'm the one. What's going to happen? The one who sows to his own flesh, will the flesh reap corruption. You know, I'm going to say something I really hope you don't take out of context, but that mass killing in Orlando, I honestly think that if you were somebody who loved God and walked with God, you wouldn't have been in that club that night, and if the guy with the gun loved God and walked with God, he wouldn't have been shooting anyone that night, and there would have been no incident. It goes back to loving God and how it looks when you love God. And see, what am I doing? I'm testing the spirits here. That's all. We're in a nation that says, what are we going to do about this? And I'm saying there is an answer, loving God. See, that's the answer. Oh, yeah, but now you're judgmental. No, I'm testing spirits. I feel very heavy-hearted towards those people, what happened there. That shouldn't have happened. We're not going to solve it by legislating gun laws, and we're not going to solve it by telling people he was a terrorist or something. We're not going to solve that by doing that. The only way to solve a sin problem is by having a relationship with God. That's the only way to solve it. And if we as a nation aren't going to do that, then we're going to be on our own. And what happens to nations that are on their own? And let us not grow weary of doing good. For in due season we will reap, if we do not give up. That's in there for a reason. We need to understand that those that do know God need to keep knowing Him and walking with Him and just loving Him. Don't give up. It's not ours. You know, you ever think, man, I can't change the nation. Well, neither can I. I can't change half the time. I have trouble changing myself, like much less the rest of the world. I mean, I can't cause world peace. What can I do? Well, I can leave it simple. I can love God, walk with Him, and listen to Him. That's what I can do. And then what? I don't know. Maybe He'll put me in a place where I can help. Maybe He won't. That's His business. He's the one that can change the world. He's the one that's going to judge the world. The world will never stand before Dave Wager to be judged. So I don't need to prepare them to stand before me to be judged. I need to prepare them to stand before God to be judged. That's not hard to understand. Sometimes, though, I act as if they're going to be standing before me to be judged. That's where it gets complicated. So then, as we have opportunity, let us do good to everyone, and especially those who are the household of faith. We as believers need to really work with each other to unify in the simple, so that the simple can overtake the complex. People think that the complex can overtake the simple. The simple will stand. The simple will never go down. It will never go away. It will always be the victor. Always. We just need to unite and stay simple. I got a t-shirt that just says stay simple or something. I don't know. Like everyone reads t-shirts and responds, so I should do that. I'll end simply. Tell me what love is, Chuck. A man named Jesus. Any questions? It all started with Him. It's all going to end with Him. So why not make now about Him? If you do, you'll be okay. I promise. Oh, I'm not saying that, by the way, you'll never get sick, have operations, you'll never have bad things happen to you. We live in a sinful world, man, and that's going to go on and on and on and on. By the way, it's because of sin. That's why it goes on. We need to hate sin. We need to enjoy God and hate sin. When you enjoy God, by the way, don't try and hate sin first, because hating sin would come after you enjoy God. Enjoy God. How do you enjoy God? How do you enjoy anybody? Spend time with them. Spend time with them. Ask, just spend time with them. Open the Bible, read it, spend time. Make it a priority of your life. Start with the simple. Don't start curing things with the complex. Start curing things with the simple. And when you do that, you'll see. Now, what if someone in your life won't go that route? Well, you're going to have problems. In this life, what does the Bible say? We have problems. Why? Because of sin. However, God tells us how to go through those. You know what I would ask, that all of us get in the habit of doing a couple things, and that's loving God and loving each other. But very specifically, loving God means knowing Him enough to obey Him. If you don't know Him enough to obey Him or those other things in there, then you need to spend time, commit yourself to getting the Word of God and getting to know Him. That's number one. And then get in the habit of this. What if, I mean, we just had this Live Generously Mission Antigo project. What if this congregation, what if those that are in here that actually know God and love God, what if we got in a habit where everybody in this town that we see, we look them in the eye, and the first thing we think of is God. We pray right away. We say, God, what can I do to make this person's life the best it can be? What if we got in the habit of doing that as a group? That we were actually walking with God, simple, we could do that. And we're actually looking people in the eye and saying, God, help me make this person's life all it could be. what would happen to us in this town? I don't know. I'm not going to make any grandiose predictions because it's not mine to do. That'll work. How? I don't know. I really don't know. I close with a story. I was in Walmart one day. And you know at camp, when kids come to Christ, we ask them to put their name on a rock, and they put their name on a rock, and they put it in a jar, and they take a rock home. And I was in Walmart, I forget how long ago, but this shorter lady came up. Nothing in short ladies, I'm just describing. I'm taller. A shorter lady came up to me, and she said, "Are you Dave?" And whenever they start that way, I don't know if they heard my voice and they just hear me on the radio or I don't know where it's coming from at this point. And I said, I'm trying to figure out if I did something real stupid just a second ago as well. And said yes. She goes, "Well, she went to club here at Cross Trainers and she came to camp." And she said, "When I was at camp, I signed a rock." I said, "Really?" Now, the rock is just a simple idea for me. I want them to sign a rock for two reasons. They seem to do it with Moses. It seemed to be a good idea. But also, I want them to put it in a jar so when I think the whole world's falling apart, I can go look at a pile of stones and say, something happened right somewhere. But then I ask them to do a second one that they can take home and look at. That's the teacher in me. Because I want them to look at it every day, and I want them to remind themselves. Very simple. It's a rock with their name on it. This is not like just a rock with their name on it. But I want them to look at it so they remind themselves how much God loves them every day. Well, this had been years. I forget how many years. And she said, "I still have that rock on my dresser." And she said, "You don't know my story, but I was here in Antigo and I came to camp and I signed that rock and I put my trust in Christ. I was going to church and then I moved away and I really did some things I shouldn't have. But I always had that rock there. And that rock reminded me." I'm thinking, it's simple, it's a rock. See what God does with a rock? Simple. It's a rock. She said, "I'm back at church doing what I should be doing, and that rock is still sitting out where I can see it." I don't know how many kids lose that rock and it gets thrown around. It's in some garden or some septic system for all I know now. I have no idea. But it's a simple idea. I want to encourage you, if there's issues in your life, start with the simple. Don't start with the complex. Start with the simple. Most of the time, you'll never, all the time. If you start with the simple and deal with it, you're not going to get to the complex. Because it'll be solved by the time you get there. Now, you can't control others. I understand that. I'm not saying that they're going to be solved. You're going to be solved at that point. And yeah, I think forever when there's shootings and there's demonstrations of sin in our community and in our lives, we're going to be torn apart. As we should be. Because sin always separates. It separates all those people that got killed in Orlando are now separated from the ones they loved and that kind of thing. Sin always separates. That's why we hate sin. Don't allow yourself to be entertained by sin. Don't let it happen. Don't go soft. Don't go soft. Go simple. Simple. There's a God. I'm not him. Let's listen to him. Enjoy him. And then you can enjoy your day. Father, again, thank you for allowing us to spend some time this morning. I thank you for your word. I thank you for how simple it is. I thank you for being God and not having appointing a bunch of us God or other surrogate gods, that we can know what is true. We can know what is right. We can adjust our life to it. We thank you for that. In Jesus' name, amen.